Did you hear all of the other news stories worthy of our time right here on WMFO Medford?
This is Sarah Beck, consumer meat specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, with a few suggestions on handling frozen meat. If you buy meat that is already frozen, be sure to place it in your freezer as soon as you get home. If you can't go directly home with your purchase, the packages can be wrapped in newspaper, for example, to prevent thawing. While freezer storage is a convenient way to keep meat, be sure you check the recommended storage time for each type of meat and date the packages so you'll know which to use first. If stored too long, meat will begin to lose its flavor, but it will still be wholesome. It's best to thaw meat in the refrigerator. If you don't use the meat once it's thawed, you can safely refreeze it as long as it remains in good condition. For more free information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary, and I'm Lisa Nichols. We are here with you every Wednesday night from 7 to 9. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show. You can do that by giving us a call at 617-627-3800. And that song means it's time for Did You Hear? This segment where Derek and I quiz each other on the last few days of the news by giving each other one word, couple word answers, and we have to explain the story. What was new and what was trending and what was hot. So I will start. Yeah, I usually start.
Yeah, you always start.
All right, this was the big one. Softball for you. Lemonade.
Lemonade. That's a softball? I got the.
Everybody knows what this is.
I got the ultimate softball for you.
Lemonade.
Lemonade. Lemonade, lemonade, lemonade. I heard something about this, and I really wasn't paying any attention.
There's so many stories around it, too.
There was that one story about how did lemonade get its name?
No.
And I don't know.
Beyonce's sixth album. It was the HBO special. It was an hour-long special on Saturday night. A minute later, she dropped her album.
That's right.
People have gone insane.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of buzz about many of her songs, which, well, first of all, it just, they're trying to get it nominated for an Oscar, some sort of thing like that. Yeah. For like a small feature, because it's a visual music thing.
Was it released in theaters? No, it doesn't get an Oscar.
It could. Yeah, couldn't it be a short?
You've got to put it in theaters.
I'm sure she will.
And then you can potentially get your
Oscar.
She
already pulled it off of HBO. So there's been a lot of controversy over some of the songs, one being Sorry. There's lyrics like, regret the night I put the ring on. There's this, have you heard about Becky with the good hair?
No.
A lot of controversy with that. Whether Jay-Z cheated on her with Rachel Roy or Rita Ora. Not Rachel Ray, Rachel Roy.
Can I tell you how much this...
This is so trending. Derek would like to be more mainstream and tells me that.
Can I tell you how much
I tell you the biggest story that's going on all over Facebook, all over Twitter, and you don't know what it is.
Can I tell you how much the depths.
I can't believe you don't know what lemonade is.
The depths of how much this does not matter in my world. Can I begin to tell you how unimportant this is to me?
I don't understand how you didn't open one of your media outlets that you use, whether it was Guardian, USA Today, Reuters, like all of these had a story on it.
I saw the story briefly because I was in Newport over the weekend.
You would have the same reaction if I didn't know it.
Living life. Okay. I saw the story. I didn't bother to learn the name of the album. I just saw, Beyonce's new album is out. Big yips. I don't care. This is a colossal amount of meaningless internet hype to get people to buy what may or may not be a good album. I don't know. I haven't heard any of the songs from it.
I don't know either because I'm a fan, but I don't have any desire to get it, purchase it.
If it's on the radio at some point and I hear a song, I will make a determination as to whether or not I like it. In general, I prefer early Beyonce to late Beyonce.
So, Derek didn't gain a point. Go on.
So here, this is a softball.
Okay.
This is the...
That was a very, very high softball.
No, that's not a high softball. Mm-hmm. Not in the world I live in.
Now Derek's going to bring it.
I read actual news. Yeah. This is a softball. This is the textbook definition of a softball. Carly Fiorina.
She was named today to be Ted Cruz's vice president if he gets the nomination.
Welcome to Bizarro Land. I'm number two in delegates. I have no chance of winning the nomination on the first ballot, but
I'm going to name a VP.
I've chosen my vice presidential candidate. Please go home, Ted.
This is, and he said it last night, that he was going to make a big announcement.
Yeah.
You knew it was going to be who his potential VP would be, and a couple days ago I heard she was being vetted, and ugh.
How angry is John Kasich right now?
He's going to jump on the Trump train.
Because John Kasich already had this conspiracy going with Cruz.
He had to pull the woman vote.
That I have to believe was in some way based on the idea that you will be my vice president if I get the nomination.
And vice versa.
And Kasich said, okay, I think the odds for Trump are looking pretty bad, so I'll do this. So you hook up with Ted Cruz. That doesn't work. The next thing you know, Ted Cruz is throwing you under the bus and bringing in Carly Fiorina.
Ugh. I heard too much about how great women are and blah, blah, blah.
Ted Cruz loves women.
Yeah. All right. Target.
Target is the subject of a boycott by the American Family Association, another loose collection of Baptist wingnuts.
I think they like to be called conservative Christians.
Yes. They are boycotting Target, and they've gained almost 1 million signatures on their online petition.
Yeah, a couple days ago, it was up to 500,000 and just...
Which we all know, signing the online petition is the next best thing to doing something. Mm-hmm. Saying that people will not shop at Target because they are allowing people to choose which bathroom they want to use.
And fitting room. So if Derek feels like he identifies that day as a woman and is trying on his chinos, you're gonna go in the women's room.
I identify most days as a woman. So I'm just, but I have a goatee. So the women don't appreciate me walking into their room.
Exactly.
Should I just tell them that they're not progressive and informed and that I have a right to be there? Let me ask a bigger question. Why do we have gender segregated bathrooms in the first place? Could we not?
Because the women's want to keep it clean.
Could we not? Well, that's a legitimate reason, by the way.
Unless you have a situation where you have single bathrooms.
Ladies.
Single stalls.
Ladies, you do not want us in your bathroom. Let me tell you that right now.
Say where I work, we have single stalls.
Why don't we just have...
They have designated man, woman.
You don't even need to
do
that.
Men go in either or.
You just have one room with stalls. Problem solved. The only time you need a separate men's room is if you're going to have something like the old trough at Fenway, where you're trying to pack in as many men relieving themselves of beer rentals.
That's crazy. I mean, that would never work. Women go to the bathroom. It's you know, it's somewhere where you go from a date to fix yourself and make sure you still look at, like, you can't have men around. That's not what it's for.
It's not there to be a safe space.
But that is what it's become.
I know that's what it's become.
It's to go in with your girls and talk about what's going, like.
I know that's what it's become, but that's not what it's there for. And if we do away with that, and we save a lot of money, by the way.
It will never happen.
We save a lot of money if we do away with that by just having one bathroom with stalls for everyone. Life will go on.
That's crazy talk, Derek.
It will go on.
All right, you got one.
Women will have to go to the bathroom by themselves instead of in groups. The horror, the horror.
What do you got?
Oh, is it me?
Yes. So it's 1-1 right now.
No. I just hit you with Carly Fiorina.
Nope, and I gave you Target.
Oh, okay. Bison.
Bison was named by Congress to be the first American mammal.
Right church, wrong pew.
Senate.
Right church, wrong pew.
Congress.
No. You're getting...
It's named the first American mammal.
No,
ever.
It's not. You're in the right wheelhouse on this, but you have the wrong details.
National mammal.
No. It hasn't actually officially.
It's going. They nominated it.
The House of Representatives.
House of
I'm giving
Reps.
You the point on this because you at least vaguely know what's going on in your confused
first
little world.
Mammal.
Have voted or will be voting to designate the bison as the national mammal of the United States. We already have an official bird, which is the eagle, and everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. America has somehow made it for more than 200 years, more than 225 years, without an official mammal. So, in the 240th year since the American Revolution, we are now going to have an official mammal. Donald Trump, by the way, referred to the bison as losers who were outsmarted by American settlers. So he is not on board with the bison. We call the bison losers.
Oh, that's fantastic. Chobani.
Chobani is going to make its employees very, very rich. The owner of Chobani said that he will be giving out stock to all of his employees based on the amount of time that you've spent there. You could get up to 10% ownership in the company. When the company goes public or is sold, they'll be able to cash in. Some of their longest tenured employees could make $1 million off of this.
Awesome.
Not bad.
Really, really good.
I want to work for that guy. Mm-hmm. I want to work for that guy 10 years ago.
And I... A very, very large majority of my diet is Chobani.
Is
Greek yogurt.
Is there a way I can work for that guy 5 years ago?
I can't. Because
I want the 1 million.
How did you not look in your crystal ball and figure out this one for us?
I want Come the on. Dirty yogurt monies. Give me the yogurt monies.
It's being Greek. Do you have to be Greek to work for them?
Apple.
For the first time, Apple shares were down since 2003.
Mm-hmm.
They lost money. So, is it oversaturation with iPhones? They don't know, but they have lost money.
It was the first time ever that Apple iPhone sales declined on a quarterly basis. And I would have given you credit for this one, too. Somebody shot themselves in a conference room at Cupertino today.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So, I have to believe that the gentleman shooting himself and the decline in iPhone sales are somehow related.
Yeah.
Tim Cook what apparently is accounted for, because if it was Tim Cook, that would have been...
They have him, locked away.
That would have been headlines everywhere. Would have been, Tim Cook has killed himself because the Apple sales were bad. So it's not Tim Cook, but yeah, somebody shot and killed himself in a conference room at Apple today.
Hmm. Not good. Mitsubishi.
Mitsubishi is under fire for what they say was using the wrong test, but what everyone else says is faking, fraudulent.
I think it's called Volkswagening.
Yes, faking the fuel economy on all of their vehicles.
Not just one.
All of them.
Not good.
No.
I see a story that we're probably going to be talking about on this show.
Yeah. Between them and Volkswagen, it's I don't know why we have cars anymore. Yeah. We just need to get rid of the cars. Serial child molester.
Dennis Haspert. He was former Speaker of the House. He was charged today with 15 years in prison. Is it 15?
15 months.
15 months. And what initially started as a probe into hiding money within his time as House Speaker, come to find out, when he used to be a wrestling coach, used to molest children. A lot of children.
He had some special moves that he reserved for the locker room that were not appreciated. Federal Judge Thomas Durkin referred to Haspert as a serial child molester when he sentenced him today. Haspert is accused of molesting 6 kids. And in addition to his 15 months in prison, he is going to be fined $250,000 and will spend 2 years on probation after serving the 15 months, and he will register as a sex offender. Haspert, if you believe what you saw at the courtroom today, is wheelchair-ridden and probably not much of a threat to an able-bodied child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's 74 now,
yeah.
I believe. And they actually had somebody that was molested by him. He's in his 50s now, and he spoke to the court and reaccounted everything that happened, and I guess it was a mess. All right. Last one for you. Bangladesh.
Oh, God. I saw this the other day. What happened in Bangladesh? There was a concert there a long time ago. Did somebody blow something up over there?
No. On Monday, 2 people were hacked to death by a gang of men.
Oh, that was it.
One was a U.S. embassy worker and the editor of the Bangladesh First LGBT magazine.
That was it.
The other one was his friend, hacked in the middle of the town.
They posed as couriers to get into the one's house and then chopped him up with machetes.
Yeah.
In the grandest developing world tradition.
Mm-hmm. I'm going for the sweep here.
Are you?
Yeah. You got 3. It's my 5th.
Okay.
I shouldn't have said that.
No, you shouldn't have. No, you shouldn't have, because I've burned through the easy ones. Stars and Stripes.
No. Oh, of course. The last one. Stars and Stripes. I feel like I read a story on this. I don't know why I'm thinking beer.
No.
Stars and Stripes. Is it a book? Something writing?
Yeah, there's a writing component to it.
Magazine. I'm never going to get it.
The venerable military newspaper has been, they have proposed defunding it to the tune of $12 million as a budget-cutting move by the Department of Defense.
I actually didn't see the story.
The Department of Defense, this was a big headline everywhere yesterday.
Was that next to Lemonade?
No, because Lemonade burned out by Sunday morning, and Stars and Stripes. But basically, the Pentagon is looking for ways to cut front office expenses in the military, and eliminating $12 million of funding for Stars and Stripes is one of the things that's on the table. There are other sources of revenue for Stars and Stripes, but if they cut the $12 million, that's pretty much the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And be interesting to see what happens with this. As a newspaper, it's a little bit of an antique, but it's also something that can be delivered to all of the places in the world where our soldiers serve. And it does serve a good purpose in the U.S. military. They threatened defunding a few years ago. They ran a big study to find out what the armed forces liked about it. Completely retooled Stars and Stripes. Now it's on the chopping block again.
Could they have just an online presence?
No, because you can't get the internet
in some of these places.
In Kabul. Internet is very unreliable in Kabul. It's not much more reliable in Aleppo or any of the other places where we're currently deployed.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that for $12 million, you're not going to do away with this. If you were talking $30 or $40 million,
then I could see.
Now you're looking at some numbers where someone might say, mm-hmm. yeah, there's, we got to find a more cost-effective way to do this. $12 million bucks isn't a lot of money to run a newspaper. And I guarantee you, you're going to find people in Congress who were from the armed forces who love Stars and Stripes.
No, and absolutely. I mean, you're talking about a component that really is that connection back to normalcy. And, you know, I'm seeing new stories and that connection back to home.
It's a little bit like every time they try and defund PBS and somebody brings up Sesame Street. Only now Sesame Street's on HBO, right. So they just made it that much easier.
The nice little contract.
To defund PBS.
I am the champion this week.
You are, but by one. You didn't know your Stars and Stripes and lemonade. WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, where Beyonce is actually considered news, my friends. Beyonce is considered news by my co-host, 617-627-3800. It is The Big Picture. When we come back, Boston Mayor Walsh has turned up on FBI wiretap recordings. Uh-oh, that can't be good. We'll let you know what's happening with that and what it could mean for the city here on WMFO Medford.
international struggles of our world may lead to
nuclear holocaust.
To survive, you must have protection from radioactive fallout.
In the past, heavy equipment necessitated a long, costly operation for out-of-home shelter installation.
Today, Survive All basement-type shelters offer a combination steel and concrete do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved, Survive All offers maximum protection from fallout and falling debris, plus a basic equipment kit for family survival.
There's low initial cost and FHA approval. Nothing down in 5 years to pay.
For your family's protection, see a Survive All shelter today.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag? It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Medford, WMFO, this is The Big Picture. He's Derek Gary, and I'm Lisa Nichols here with you a bit while longer, till 9 o'clock. And call in, be a part of the show, 617-627-3800. Now, Derek, one way, or you would never want to hear your name pop up, wait, say, in an FBI wiretap. Probably wouldn't want to hear that.
It depends.
No.
If they're listening to the show in the background.
It could be.
Then absolutely.
Yes. Well,
I think we have a number of FBI listeners.
Probably. Our mayor, Marty Walsh, his name did pop up in some wiretaps. Now, I'm talking about Mayor Marty Walsh,
Let's couch this because this is sensitive. We don't know that for certain.
Allegedly.
We know that.
Sources very, very close.
Someone close to the district attorney's office, off the record, said that Boston Mayor Marty Walsh's voice was heard on a tape made during an FBI wiretap.
Yes. Now, the question is, well, what did he say? Allegations into it are saying that he had was talking to a developer and saying, you know what, you're going to have problems with your Stewart Street property. It was part of Avalon Bay. You're going to have problems with zoning if you don't use union workers. But you also have to use union workers for this other project in Somerville. You might know that as Assembly Row.
Yes.
That massive, beautiful area right down the street over here in Somerville. And is still being constructed. Now, the conversation was allegedly recorded. This was October 2012. It was between Anthony Peroni. He was the leader of the Labor's Local 22 in Malden. And Walsh had said to the developer, as I said, at Avalon Bay Communities. Mayor Walsh, of course, is coming out and saying, no, no, I didn't do anything wrong. It must be somebody that just doesn't like, you know, me as a mayor, me as a person, and what I do for the city, because I do everything for the people. I'm only here to get everybody a job. So you have to say, well, is this taking care of the people, or is it unlawful coercion? That's the question here.
That's the question. And Mayor Walsh happened to be the head of the Boston Building and Construction Trades Council at the time when this conversation took place. And first of all, does this sort of thing go on all the time? Yes, it probably does.
Especially when you have something like Boston and labor unions involved.
Is this the sort
of... They're not all completely clean.
Is this the sort of thing that you want associated with your mayor? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Now, the fact that somebody claims to have heard his voice means one of two things. Because there are, as far as we know, only two voices on this phone call. One of them is Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. The other is Laborers Local 22 head Anthony Peroni.
Mm-hmm.
One of these guys is in hot water. And Mayor Walsh is hoping it's Anthony Peroni. And Anthony Peroni is hoping that it's Marty Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. It could be both of them. The fact that this has come out suggests a couple of possibilities. One is that the DA's office and the FBI, who would be conducting this investigation, don't have a very good case against whoever they're trying to build a case against. So this comes out in the hope of luring somebody forward who will spill the beans.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's basically them saying, we have the evidence. If you are hiding because you are afraid to be a rat, you don't have to worry about that. We have the evidence. All you have to do is come forward and confirm it.
Now, apparently Walsh was not an early focus of this probe. This story was initially reported by the Boston Globe on Sunday night. This came out. Then you have a few people in the past couple days coming to the Globe and local media saying, well, yeah, actually, I had a problem before with this developer or this labor union or Marty Walsh. Another one, Michael Rossio, he's a developer. He did a lot of work in Charlestown. He was actually received a subpoena in the investigation. He was working to convert an old Charlestown warehouse into these loft-style apartments. Apparently, they were using part union. A lot of people weren't happy with it, including the Charlestown Neighborhood Council. Really not happy. So he meets with Walsh. This is December 11th, 2012, a year before he becomes mayor, in his office, in Rossio's office. Only supposed to be between the two of them, brings Mark Furcione, who, of course, he's a part of the Boston Zoning Board of Appeal.
Yeah.
Sits him down and apparently, according to Rossio, is saying he introduced him as, quote, someone you'll have to deal with in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds like mob negotiations going on.
And this is...
Rossio is saying is he comes forward and he puts some complaints in with a couple of, people higher up with local media, Boston Globe being one before, kind of got brushed under the rug. Then a few minutes later, they also have, who came in? Mark Rosenheim. He's a member of the Charlestown Neighborhood Council. You need to use all union workers. Because you know that project you have going on in Charlestown too? The one that you want to have a food pantry that's already being run, but you don't have the correct zoning? If you want that to open up, you're now going to have these Charlestown lofts being built.
Yeah.
Why aren't you using them? And he's like, well, we offered it to them. Nobody wanted to take the bid. It was put down by six different labor unions. They didn't want to take it. So I gave it to the one that gave it to me cheaper. He goes to the zoning board. He has written agreement from Capuano and former mayor, Mayor Menino, saying, absolutely, this should open up. This will be great for the city of Charlestown. It doesn't pass.
No, because the city of Charlestown has its own ideas about what's going to happen in the city of Charlestown.
Yeah.
This...
That doesn't help the case.
It doesn't help the case. And what's alleged here with Mayor Walsh is a little tough to wrap your head around.
But it makes sense. You come off as giving more work to the people of Boston. You're trying to make Boston better because, you know, these are hardworking, blue collar, you know, give them the jobs, not the corporate developers.
But let's keep in mind what's been alleged here. Is it on a wiretap? We don't know whose wire was being tapped, but somebody's wire is being tapped. Probably Anthony Peroni's.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor Walsh is bragging about how he put the squeeze on a developer working on Assembly Row to get them to use more union labor. And the way that he does this is by saying that Avalon development you want to do in Boston is going to have some problems mm-hmm. if you don't get the union guys in over on this other thing.
And not saying that it's not going to open, but we're going to make it very, very difficult for you. I get a lot of friends in this zoning authority. I have a lot of friends over here.
So this isn't Walsh talking to the development company. This isn't Walsh on record with anybody saying, hey, you want me to send some boys down or you're going to sign the thing?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know exactly what he said. We know that he's bragging to another union leader about what he's pulled off. We don't know if he's puffing up what he's done. Yeah, he may not have said anything. He might have said something as simple as, hey, come on. You got this other thing going on. You got this thing going on. Get some union guys in there, or sooner or later, somebody's going to pull a permit out from under you.
Does it get a little suspicious?
Well, here's where it gets a little suspicious, because let's flash back a year. When Top Chef is in the city of Boston.
Yes, and you may remember that. When federal prosecutors, there was indictments on five Teamster members, and they were accused of extortion with this television. It was at a restaurant right down the street from my house, Steele and Ryan Milton. They were doing a scene, or you know, one of the episodes, the challenges, at this restaurant. You had many of the members of the local Teamsters coming out, not only yelling profanities, but stopping the production crew from doing their job, throwing debris, yelling racial and sexual slurs at Pat Malachki, who is the host of the show. Looking real good for Boston. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of shows going to want to film here.
But here's the thing. It wasn't just those five Teamsters who were indicted. There was one, Kenneth Brissett, who was the city director of tourism, who made phone calls from Boston City Hall to the owners of the Omni Parker House and Menton and basically said, don't have Top Chef come in unless you want a lot of Teamsters coming in and ripping up the place.
Mm-hmm.
I am paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. The owners of Menton and the Omni Parker House subsequently told Top Chef to get stuffed.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come here. We're not going to do this thing anymore. That was part of the federal investigation. Whether or not Mr. Brissett broke the rules is up for debate and hasn't been settled in a court of law. But that didn't stop one Marty Walsh from paying $60,000 to Brian T. Kelly, former prosecutor, now works for Nixon Peabody in Boston, from clearing the mayor's office of any wrongdoing. This was somebody who was appointed by Walsh and paid by Walsh mm-hmm. to clear them of any wrongdoing. He has cleared them of any wrongdoing. So you have what happened with Top Chef, and now you have what happened here.
Well, just a few weeks also after, you know, allegedly Marty Walsh had spoke to this developer of Avalon Bay. Yeah, Avalon Bay donated $2,500 to the Mayor Marty Walsh campaign.
They also got to be part of his cabinet when he first won the election.
Yeah.
So Marty Walsh is connected to a lot of people.
I'm going
to
say about 99% of all the money in his campaign fund comes from local unions. You scratch my back,
it absolutely does.
I scratch your back. Once a Teamster, always a Teamster. And especially here in Boston, you see it all the time. I mean, not just talking about last year with Top Chef. Every single year, we're hearing stories about this. This person's being indicted. This person has an investigation going on. People are going to prison. Recent years, you had three local Teamsters that were convicted in federal court that was on extortion. It's always this same kind of behavior, and they get away with it.
Somewhere,
why? Because it's brushed under the rug.
Somewhere in the vicinity of 39% of the population of the city of Boston is union members. So if you are a union guy, which Marty Walsh is, he's a union guy's union guy, you're going to pull that labor vote when you run for mayor. And where you can win mayor of Boston with a relatively small amount of the population, if you can mobilize that union vote, you're in. You're done. The problem that we have now is that things from Marty Walsh's past are starting to come back. And some aspects of his pro-union stance appear to be out of touch with modern reality. Boston is trying to be a 21st century global destination city, which means you want to have lots of millennials, lots of developers coming around, millions of dollars being spent. And Boston is not going to get there if the perception from the outside is that it is this provincial little town that is run by union goons.
Which essentially, I mean, it might as well be run by the mafia. This is what, these are the kind of tactics that they use. You use my guy, you only use this guy. This is how this town's going to be run. This is old school mentality.
Yeah.
And you make a perfect example, Derek, and when you say other people are going to look to this, if you have a company coming in, you know what? Why am I going to bring my, say, let's use General Electric. They were trying to decide which city they were going to come to. You have another big company like that going, well, I could go to Western Mass. I could go right in the city of Boston, or I could go to New York. I'm not going to build a brand new building in Boston if I'm going to have to deal with this crap. Especially for Boston right now. In the past, say, 5 or so years, look at the Seaport, the Innovation District, as Mayor Menino constructed. It is amazing to see the development that is going on. Every other month you have a new building going up, whether it be a hotel, a brand new high-rise of apartments. You can't tell me that many of these stories are probably floating around many of these developments.
Oh, not at all. And
the entire Seaport,
this kind of behavior went on when Tom Menino was in the mayor's office. Everybody knew that it was going on, but it wasn't ever front page news.
And I know this because I drive by, I park near these buildings, and they have local blah, blah, blah up, local here, local here. It's all union. Nothing's private anymore. I can guarantee the minute this starts blowing up, you are going to see so many more stories like this. Look at Longwood Medical Area, the construction that's going on around there. Look at the construction that is going on in many of these towns surrounding Boston, Quincy, Everett, East Boston. It's the same thing that happened in Somerville. Before, nobody wanted to live in Somerville. Look at it now. It's one of the biggest booming cities.
Boston has been a union labor town since the 1970s, since the Kevin White days. That's just what Boston is. It's not necessarily a problem until it starts blowing back into the mayor's office and until it starts getting on the front page. Marty Walsh needs to get out in front of this, and he's not going to get out in front of this by saying the media is a bunch of liars and the media is a problem, and I don't want to say this is made up, but you don't have any actual source for any of this, because the next thing you know, the FBI is knocking on the mayor's door and handing in handing him a subpoena, and all of the development in the city of Boston has dried up.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders because Tom Menino, as much as he played favorites and as much as he treated the city like his own personal property, kept the gravy train running for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much built up everything that was available to build up. There's still some parcels down in the south, down in the Seaport District. Everything else in the city is pretty much built.
Really.
Tommy built it all.
Yeah.
And prior to him, Kevin White built it all.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that big lull in between where we had some other mayors and nothing much happened. So everybody's looking at Walsh now and saying, well, what are you going to do? What's he? He's coming in with Olympics. He's coming in with Formula One racing. He's coming up with all of these plump little union jobs
that bring in very quickly lots of money,
yeah,
lots of jobs.
Short term.
And you sell yourself as, we're, you know, we want to make Boston look good. We want to make it that next level 21st century.
Short term, no lasting benefit to the city kind of projects. When what he really needs to do is have some sort of a comprehensive development plan that will keep the union people happy while actually delivering some benefits to the Commonwealth as a whole. Still waiting to see.
But that's the thing, and it's not like these labor unions don't have jobs. Look at the developments, as I just mentioned, that are all around. This guy that was saying, he offered it to multiple unions in Charlestown. They didn't want it. There's probably now become this system where, well, no, you're going to pay us top dollar for it. Doesn't matter if we're a union or private.
The problem is they have jobs right now. They don't have jobs 5 years from now. And that's what the unions are thinking about, is what happens when this project's done? What happens when that project's done? How do we get more union laborers into the city of Boston and working on projects? And Marty Walsh doesn't really have an answer for that right now. So I don't know if there is any truth to any of this or not. I know that the look of this, as you said, Lisa, is very old school. And if we go into the old school history of labor unions in Boston, when the work dries up, what happens? The unions start leaning on the guys that are actually doing work. You're going to use our union labor or you're going to have problems. That is a very
old, good look.
It's a very old battle cry in the city of Boston. It is not a good look. And for a city that is trying to compete against, particularly against a New York City that is continually revitalizing itself and is in the midst right now of one of the biggest growth cycles I've seen in New York probably in the last two decades, it's a very bad look for the city of Boston. We need the mayor to get out in front of this and to deflect this criticism and to let people know City Hall is not working on behalf of the unions. City Hall is here to bring opportunity, not to shake people down.
Not a good look for the city of Boston.
Not a good look
for Mayor Marty Walsh.
Not saying the guy did anything. It's the optics. And that's what matters. Because if somebody's sitting there and I got a choice.
And history, your past will come out.
I got a choice between Boston and New York. I know what I'm getting in New York. I don't know what I'm getting in Boston. You're talking multi-million dollar projects. The people who control that money tend to be very, very cautious. 617-627-3800. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week, the strangest stories from the past week, and at 9 o'clock tonight on The Town with Mikey D, everything you need to know about the Boston music scene, all coming your way in the next 20 minutes, right here on WMFO Medford.
don't dream of.
Oh, please.
Boy versus girl in the world series of love.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Joe Elliott from Def Leppard for Rad. Planning on going out and having a party? Great, have a lot of fun. But do me a big favour and don't blow it. Always choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives. You should too.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. It's time for What's Hot, our favorite news story from this week. Now, if we didn't learn anything from, you know, the creation of Bodie McBoatface, where if you remember, people in England were asked via the internet to name a research ship. The name that got the most votes was Bodie McBoatface.
I am still willing to rename the show Bodie McBoatface, by the way.
Well, the staff at Robert E. Elementary School in Texas put out an appeal for people to think of a new name for this establishment. They've been getting a lot of, you know, kind of fire at them because, you know, he was part of the Confederate and blah, blah, blah. So, of course, we take to the internet and...
Is this going to involve the N-word?
No.
Oh, that's a break.
So here are some of the suggestions. B-movie. I don't know. Adolf Hitler School for Friendship and Tolerance. Bleeding Heart Liberal Elementary.
Nice.
Bodie McBoatface Elementary. Garfunkel. Perfect Person Memorial Elementary. Schooly McSchoolface.
Schooly McSchoolface.
Which I think should win.
Nice.
We have John Cena Elementary School. This one was awful, and shame on the person that wrote this. Adam Lanza School of Fun.
Ooh.
Most votes... Donald J. Trump Elementary.
Nice. Nice.
Now, apparently...
They may be well ahead of a national trend with that.
Yeah, they didn't go with what was the most popular. They handpicked some of them. A couple of the names are in memorial to former principals or former teachers.
Come on. Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah. Don't offer the internet a chance to name your school and then take it back. Bodie McBoatface should have its name on a ship.
I like John Cena Elementary.
Right.
That's got a nice ring to it.
Hitler School for Friendship and Tolerance.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
I don't know. I've seen better. if you have the TVs, which you do.
I have the TVs.
And you have the cables. You want to be tuning into AMC on Tuesday nights.
So good.
To watch The Night Watchman.
Now, listeners, take Derek's advice most of the time on television shows. When he told me this last week, Thursday, I watched it on demand, and it is so good.
So good. You've got Hugh Laurie chewing scenery in this thing. We haven't, it's interesting because he's sort of hovering in the background of all of this, and you don't see a lot of him, but what you see, and you know you're going to see more, but what you see of him is incredibly impressive. Tom Hiddleston, who the ladies enjoy, is a manager at a hotel and a former British Army officer whose father was a spy, who gets sucked into the world of this international arms dealer, played by Hugh Laurie. It's also got Olivia Colman in it. It has gorgeous Spanish and Swedish scenery so far, or Swiss scenery so far. You don't deserve any more than this. It is a great, 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 great show. This was a massive hit when it ran over in England last year, and AMC bought it before the BBC could figure out anything else to do with it. They were like, we can put 20 minutes of commercials in this and run it after The Walking Dead and make money. And they are correct about that. So you've got nice long commercial breaks to go and get your snacks and all the rest of that. But the show itself, it plays a little bit like James Bond in places.
And the nice thing about it, it's only a 6-part miniseries. So you don't have to, you know, completely ruin your life for the next, you know, few days. If you want to wait and then just binge it. Quick day binge.
6 episodes and you're done. The first episode was on last week. The second episode was on last night. Both are available on demand.
It keeps you intrigued and wanting to know more of what's going to happen on the next episode.
And it's John le Carré, so you can't necessarily trust that anyone is who they say they are. And you have to pay attention to little details about things. There's a great scene in last night's episode involving a book that is pure John le Carré writing. And you look at it and you're like, because typically he writes spy stories for spies to read because he knows they're hyper-focused on the details. This isn't as stuffy and procedural as some of his other stuff. This is really, really entertaining television. Highly, highly, highly recommended. Watch it now or be one of those people who walks around saying, you know, I heard about that and I never get a chance to watch it.
Me on the show every week. That's the thing that happened. The craziest news from this week. Minnesota. An auto body shop in Minnesota was the subject of a drug task force investigation after a report that the owners were distributing drugs to employees as bonuses. The owner of Clear Choice Auto Body Repair, 40-year-old Jesse Michael Seifert, was arrested after an employee said that he and his girlfriend, Nancy Jean Lowline, 39, were paying employees in methamphetamine. Agents in the Minnesota River Valley Drug Task Force investigated the shop, and the commander, Jeff Warsall, reported that the owners gave the shop 6 employees half a gram of meth in the girlfriend's presence. Syringes and a digital scale with traces of meth were found at the business as the task force searched the building Thursday. Authorities have been tracking the ongoings at the shop and its owners for at least 6 months. The business owner's criminal history in Minnesota included convictions of marijuana possession and drunk driving. He is being jailed on a driver's license violation pending drug charges. So kids, no more bonuses at the end of the year. You're getting Molly.
You know what my problem is with this story is this does nothing, and I mean nothing, to improve the reputation of the auto body industry. Because everybody looks at those guys, they're like, yeah, is that a front for drugs? I know it says auto body, but are they really selling drugs there? Well, at this one, they're getting paid in them. We're going to turn our attention north of the border, where Joshua Tackett was nabbed after his Chevy Cruze veered off the road in the town of Kensington. The auto hit a stone wall, a granite post, and a utility pole before coming to a stop across the street from the Kensington Police Department headquarters. So if you're going to wipe out while drunk driving, it's probably not a good idea to save the cops a trip by wiping out in front of their building. It gets better. Because as Mr. Tackett's mugshot photo shows, at the time that he was involved in the accident, he was wearing a t-shirt that says, "This guy needs a beer."